Shalom and welcome to another in our series of podcasts from Temple Beth Am, a dynamic center for conservative Judaism in Los Angeles. This is a recording of a Shabbat sermon by Rabbi Matt Shapiro.
After we make it across the Red Sea, we're told, Vatikach Miriam hanvia achot aharon et hatof beyada, vatetzena kol hanashim achareha, betupim uvim cholot. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 20, it says, Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, picked up a timbrel, and all the women went out after her, dancing with timbrels. Now you might rightly ask, where did they get the timbrels from? Didn't they leave Egypt in a pretty big hurry? Yes, of course they did. And the rabbis of the Midrash teach us that the righteous women of that generation were so confident that God would perform miracles for them that accordingly they had brought timbrels with them from Egypt. Imagine, you're fleeing Egypt as quickly as you possibly can, just grabbing the bare minimum of what you're going to be taking with you, and yet you feel so confident. You have so much trust and faith in God, so much hope in what will unfold, that you make sure to bring a tambourine along with you. It's a remarkable moment to consider, especially when we dig a little bit deeper into this essential story of our people. The broad strokes of the Exodus narrative, our core story, are simple and well known. We were slaves for a long time. We left Egypt. We became free. But of course, there are some other details that complicate that basic narrative. There's a lot of pain just under the surface. We hear of the horrors that Pharaoh inflicted upon our people at the beginning of the story. We paint our doorframes with blood to ensure our safety. There are plagues, real plagues, painful plagues that impact the lives of the Egyptians, concluding, of course, with the death of every firstborn. It's not a pretty story. And still, we celebrate. After all, despite and through that pain, we become free. We find hope. Things don't have to be the way they've always been. Change is possible. We bring our timbrels with us as we leave, and at the same time, we don't forget the pain. We take out a drop of wine from our Kiddush cups onto the plate for each of the plagues that befell the Egyptians at the Seder. We inflict upon ourselves measures of the sorrow we experienced in Egypt. We dip in salt water representing our tears. We taste maror, the bitter herbs. Rabbi Mark Borowitz said something very interesting about maror when I was learning with him once. He spoke about how often we mask the taste of the maror with the charoset, which sweetens it. But he said it's important to fully taste the maror so that we can grasp how bitter it actually was, which in turn motivates us to get away from the slavery and pain we experienced. We have to taste that bitterness until hopefully, eventually, becoming free. Once we've done that, when we have the hope that we're on our way to freedom, even amidst the chaos and pain of leaving Egypt, we confidently bring those instruments of celebration with us. As some of you know, last week I went along with 25 other educators on a delegation to Israel through the Jewish Education Project. I'm grateful that I got to go, and it was a very difficult trip. Not only because of how briefly I was in Israel for just 4 days, but more so emotionally, because of what I saw and who I spoke with. We bore witness to some truly difficult experiences and heard some deeply, deeply painful stories. Speaking broadly, nearly to a person, every Israeli with whom we met repeated the same two refrains. First of all, in Israel, it's not October 8th yet. It's still October 7th. People are very much still living as if that is the current day rather than a date on the calendar from over 6 months ago. And directly connected to that, we heard consistently and passionately that people cannot move forward until the hostages are home. It has been 196 days since October 7th, and there are still 133 hostages in Gaza. It has been 196 days since October 7th, and there are still 133 hostages in Gaza. Hearing this so consistently and seeing what I did up close felt like the process of moving from a two-dimensional to a three-dimensional understanding of what's happening in Israel over these past months. It literally was that, and it amplified the pain that much more. Holding this heaviness while walking around Tel Aviv on a beautiful morning or having, as always, the incredible opportunity to visit the Kotel was discordant, to say the least. It's hard to capture, but I'll try to bring you into my experience a bit more with some brief snapshots. I walked around the wreckage of Kibbutz Kfar Aza and saw firsthand the devastation and destruction from Hamas's ruthless, inhumane attack. An evocative image was seeing a sukkah that's still standing outside one of the homes, a definitionally temporary dwelling that's still waiting to be taken down over 6 months later. I saw the children of Kibbutz Nir Am laughing and playing, having a wonderful time on the third floor of a hotel in a preschool that's been built from essentially nothing by volunteers and is providing the care and love that these children need miles from their home weeks and weeks later. I heard from Liat, mother of Shachar Friedman, a 21-year-old Israeli soldier who followed his Druze commander into a firefight in Gaza and was killed. She lamented this incredibly painful loss and also told us of the message of hope that she knew he would want shared in his name. She said to us, "Our mission is to never let this light disappear." And I had breakfast with my mom, who lives outside Chicago, was on a JNF delegation at the same time as my trip, and was staying at another hotel just north of where I was in Tel Aviv. We got to connect over our shared experiences while overlooking the Mediterranean. In Hostage Square, among heartbreakingly beautiful and simply heartbreaking art installations, I walked through a model of one of Hamas's tunnels. It was filled with graffiti, mainly notes of remembrance and notes of hope, composed by thousands of others who have walked through that same tunnel. And I sat directly across the table from Itzik, a father who initially feared that one of his sons had been taken captive by Hamas after finding out that they had attacked the kibbutz where he lived. But then he found out that actually two of his sons had been taken captive because one of them was visiting his brother for the holiday. Both of them, Eitan and Yair, are still in Gaza. I share these images with you, a sampling of a few of the many vivid moments I'm holding in my head and still processing to illustrate a bit the dizzying and overwhelming experience I had. I'll be honest with you and share that initially my emotional experience brought me a sense of real despair, soaked in the pain of what I saw and experienced. But I think about Rabbi Mark's words about the maror, about the importance of tasting the bitterness. And I tasted a measure of it. I did. And not only do I not want to stay in that pain, our tradition tells me that I shouldn't. And as I returned home this past week and began to process my experience, I've realized that part of what's essential for me are the people with whom I'm connected, my family, my friends, my community. That process started at the airport in Tel Aviv as I was about to leave when I spoke with a colleague with whom I'd gotten to know over the course of the trip. I shared my deep concern and worry about so much of what the future holds, and he reassured me, stating with conviction and a little bit of obscenity that I'll omit here, that Israel always gets up off the mat. As I've been processing and connecting with people this week, the pain that I have felt and I'm still feeling has not fully abated, but I've started to move forward to an increased sense of hope. So it makes sense to me that in Israel's national anthem, HaTikvah, we say, Od lo avda tikvatenu. It's not tikvati, my hope, but tikvatenu, our hope. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Alav HaShalom, wrote frequently about hope, and I'll distill it down simply into his thought that optimism is a passive virtue, hope is an active one. Optimism is the belief that things will get better. Hope is the belief that together we can make things better. We can make things better. So that in turn means we need to take action. We can advocate for the hostages to be released now. We can go to Israel and bear witness and connect. We can contribute and donate to worthy causes of which there are certainly no shortage still. It's easy for me to sometimes get lost in prognosticating, asking big picture questions about what might come next, and in its way that can be a distraction. The challenge is to determine what's actually within my control and to take hopeful action to bring it about. Hope is easy when things are good. And hope is truly important when it seems like they aren't. In moments like this one, when the pain is so present, you can almost physically feel it. But looking to the story of the Exodus, our core narrative, think of how frail we were as we walked towards freedom. We had been enslaved for years and years, and yet we moved forward. We didn't lose tikvatenu, our hope. We are told that in each and every generation, we should see ourselves as if we have left Egypt. It didn't just happen then. It's happening now. So when I'm feeling despair, I can look around me and see the incredible, brave work that so many people, even and especially those who have experienced and are experiencing wrenching tragedy, are doing every hour. Every day, and that brings me to a place where I can take action as well. All over Israel, we saw posters that say, Biyachad Nenatzeach, together we will win. And there have emerged some very real questions today about what it will take for us to fully stay together, even what winning will really mean. And another man named Itzik, with whom we spoke, who had done something incredible. He quit his job in communications to support this kibbutz near Am that had been living in a hotel for over 6 months, had a slight tweak on that slogan that we saw everywhere. Itzik said, Rak biyachad ninatzeach. Only together can we win. It's not a given that we will. And that's exactly why this is about, in Rabbi Sacks' words, hope rather than optimism. This is a really challenging moment, and that makes hope as embodied through collective action that much more important. So whatever your timbrel is, whatever it is to you that signifies that hope and faith and trust, make sure you don't forget it as we move to wherever it may be that we're headed next. We didn't get out of Egypt alone. Ultimately, the only way through tragedy and pain is by navigating it together. Pain is real. So may we be blessed with the courage to fully taste the maror this Pesach. Hope is essential. So may we have the strength to move towards that hope and carry it with us always. Change is possible. Next year in Jerusalem, next year may we all be free.
You have been listening to another in our series of podcasts from Temple Beth Am, a dynamic center for conservative Judaism in Los Angeles. If you enjoy these podcasts, we invite you to write a review on the Apple Podcast site or wherever you get your podcasts. For more information about Temple Beth Am Los Angeles, go to tbala.org.